Cauldron FM.
Online.
The sound of magic.
Enter Merlin, but beware. Do not interrupt his magic.
Well, hi, merry meet, and welcome to something of a special show for Cauldron FM. It's a bit of a coup, because we've got a two-part show here, which consists of the full version of the Children of Ireland's Tubular Bells, as produced by Tom Newman, the producer of the original version of Tubular Bells, and also it's got an interview with the man himself, with Tom Newman and his business partner, Paul Brett, who's another tasty guitarist and played with some very, very major bands. But predominantly the show is about Tubular Bells by the Children of Ireland. So it's going to be in two parts because it's too long to make it in one. This is part one. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joseph's and Newry High Schools.
Making magical, mystical memories. Merlin.
Well, hi there.
Dave, how are you?
I'm absolutely fine, thank you. Are you all right?
Yeah, fine, yeah. We've had a very busy 2 days over in Scotland. And we've only just recently got back in the last half an hour or so. So we're now at your disposal.
Excellent. So Paul's there with you, is he?
I can go and get him now. Do you want us both together?
It might be an idea, yes. And then
okay, let me. Well, in that case, I'll take the computer into where Paul is because he's over the moon because he's just got delivery of his new vintage travel guitar that he's been clinking away at for a long time. Paul!
Oh! Yeah,
Dave's on the doovery.
Dave.
On the thingy here. I'm not sure if you can see us, but it's a bit dark. Or maybe it's a...
It's all right.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, there's enough light.
Holy shit, over there. What?
Yes.
Having a bit of a practice on my new little ding-dong Viator. Hi, Dave.
Hiya, Paul. Nice to see
you. All right.
So... Basically, I might as well just launch into this, I think. I've done no preparation, so don't worry about it. It's off the cuff like that one, Tom.
We don't.
Right, just basically by way of introduction, I'm here chatting to Tom Newman and Paul Brett. That is right, isn't it, Paul?
That's exactly right.
Fantastic. Right, now, when I did the Tom interview the last time, the very first question I asked him on air was, who is Tom Newman? The same
question
is now going to go to you, Paul. Who is Paul Brett?
Who is Paul Brett? That's another good question. professionally, I started playing in the 1960s professionally. My first band was, I followed Jimmy Page into Neil Christian and the Crusaders. And then after that, I played with a lot of big bands, Crazy World of Arthur Brown, The Straubs, Ralph McTell, Roy Harper, Al Stewart, Paul
Blackstage,
Lonnie Donegan. Yeah. Oh, there's your, what is it, Lewis Flavel on it, yeah. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Did a lot of session work, blah, blah, blah. And I suppose over the years, really kind of kept it up as a musician, as a journalist.
Jim Page got you your first gig, didn't he, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, I went into Neil Christian and the Crusaders after he left. So there was a lot of, I played about 20 odd years professionally on the top level. And then I sort of went on journalist, I went on the other side of business, I managed a performing artist network, Pan Polycorp, which was a, we had, you know, a Deep Purple, Brian Adams, Journey, Styx, Saga, a lot of big bands. Then I went and produced for Capital Radio. And I had some, did some solo albums as, with the London Symphony Orchestra. I had a few hit albums in my own right. And then I went to a law. What did I do then? Yeah, I went on the other side of the business and sort of did massive production shows with my partner Michelle Breeze, who was one of Andrew Lloyd Webber's leading ladies. She played Evita worldwide, and we had our own company. Went all over the world, 60 hand shows. And then kind of drifted back later on after 10 years back into the music business. Journalist with Acoustic Magazine, you know, did Consultancy Antiques Roadshow on vintage guitars, did Flog It. And then back into production, back with Tom after, you know, 30 years.
I produced a couple of his very early albums, which are now kind of classics, really, which is...
And we've got this thing together.
sorry, David, it's breaking up a bit.
I say you've done it again. You've answered a question before I've asked it.
Oh, well.
He did that to me the last time, Paul. Don't worry about it. Because I was going to say, how did you guys actually start working together? It turns out now you've already answered that, so that buggered that one up.
I can't quite remember who approached who. How did we get into, what was it, Into Life was the first one?
Yeah,
it?
Into Life was the first one, yeah. I can't remember that at all.
Were you with a record
company? I was
with
RCA. And
Andrew Lauder, was it Andrew Lauder?
No, it wasn't Andrew. It was, I can't really remember that. I was with RCA. I'd done Earth First, the first ever 12-string guitar suite. And then we kind of increased the lineup. It may have had something to do with the fact that I was also working for Capital Radio, and it might have come through Capital Radio.
Oh, it could
somewhere.
Have been, because at that time I had a mobile recording unit, and I was also doing Capital Radio. They had an orchestra called the Wren Orchestra, and I was recording the Wren Orchestra at fairly regularly at the QEH, the Queen Elizabeth Hall. Might have been through that.
Yeah, and we did the first, Into Life was the first ever commercial album that Capital Radio, actually produced in Capital Radio Studios.
Yeah.
So and that's how Tom and I got together, and then we did another album. And then we sort of drifted apart, went our separate ways, and after all these years, I got a duo called Slap Soul, which they're great, young lads from Wales, same village as Duffy. And then I wanted a producer, so after 30-odd years, I contacted Tom and asked him if he wanted to do that, and he said yes. Came over from Ireland, and he brought over the kind of Tubular Bells tapes with it.
Uh-huh. Which I kind of given up on, you know, at the time. Having done the Tubular Bells for Children project, it didn't have an outcome, you know, that was specific.
Right.
But by the people that the education board that had commissioned it hadn't looked beyond the actual process of making it. They had no concerns about what happened to it afterwards, you know. So it sat on the shelf, you know, after having finished it. It just sat there, and because I didn't have a label, nobody would have been was interested. I mean, I didn't actually try to put it with anybody, but I imagine that because it was a kind of a kids' project, it wasn't good enough to be considered seriously by a major label. But I brought it with me when I came to work with Paul on the Slap Soul thing. Well, oh no, I didn't. I don't think I even brought it with me. But we just talked. You know, Paul and I had a lot of catching up to do because we hadn't seen each other for 35 years odd or something. So we had quite a lot of catching up to do. And in the process of catching up, what we've been doing, I told Paul all about the Minesweeper and the radio station and the working with the kids doing the Tubular Bells. And he said, oh, I'd like to hear that. So I found him a copy. I got a copy to him. And it fired him up, you know. And so he really kicked me into touch over it and said, look, what the fuck are you doing with this sitting there and it's so good? Why don't you put it out, you know? And I said, well, come on, Paul, what are we going to... I can't put it out. I'm skint. I haven't got a label. There's no one's going to like this. No one's going to want it. It's nothing like the original. And he said, but that's exactly what's good about it. And we didn't talk about it for a couple because we were working on the Slap Soul. And he came back to me and said, we should just do it. Why don't we do it ourselves? And I said, that's, you know, I'm 70, you're 66, two old farts like us, starting a record label. Are you joking? Yeah, you're fucking mad. So, but he's Paul, when he gets the bit between his teeth, it's like a Rottweiler. He won't let go, you know. He's one of these people who gets an idea in his head and that's it. He won't let go. So what's happened is I'm not a businessman, and that's why I'm not wealthy, really. And Paul just got to grips with it and has set the whole thing up, you know. So really, he bullied me into it. But it seems to be paying off. I was very sceptical about the whole thing, obviously, as you would be with the wisdom of a failed 70-year-old pop star. It's going to make you sceptical. Yeah, but it seems to be working, bizarrely. And I tell you what's magical about it, Dave, is that I'm sure you understand what I'm going to say, that there is a magic in the universe that when you're doing it right, the universe gets behind you and puts you in the right place at the right time with all sorts of situations. And everything that's been happening since Paul persuaded me to get on this particular crazy boat ride that we're on, everything has backed up behind us in a very, very positive way.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. I mean, you know, I very, very tentatively asked Richard about it and sent him a record. He loved it. And so we instantly got the whole of Richard's...
Social media team.
They're behind us, and you know they're waiting for us to send them stuff, and then they blog it. So, I mean, you couldn't buy that, you know.
Absolutely,
that's
not
something that would. But it just happened, you know. These things have just started to click into place. Yeah. We got a lovely. I haven't seen Rick Wakeman for probably 15 years. And Paul hasn't seen him for God knows
how long. Well, since we were with the Straubs, you know.
And we got a lovely post from Rick Wakeman supporting the whole thing and putting the stuff on his own website. You know, he shared it with himself. You know,
very, very good.
Having somehow, I mean, I befriended him on Facebook months ago, but I didn't get a personal contact from him because I didn't. I just befriended a Rick Wakeman website, and I thought, well, it's a fan group, you know.
Mm.
But Rick obviously was looking at it, and he loves it. So all these things are bizarrely starting to click into place, you know.
Yeah,
it's magic, really.
And as you say, you know, I'm totally behind that. I really do understand where you're coming from, because I've gone through a similar sort of experience with my own career that. When I got into doing the radio stations, like you, I didn't have a pot to pee in. You know, I was, where's the money going to come from for all this and all that sort of thing. But as it's happened, I haven't needed a great deal of money. It's come from knowledge and expertise that's been freely given to me because people have got behind it.
Yeah.
And sort of pushed it forwards. And, you know, I mean, like meeting up with you, you know, that's another big step forwards because it's actually given me a lot more credibility than...
Glad. I've got no problem with that. I think, you know, the whole of existence on the planet Earth is to do with everybody, you know, helping each other along in every way possible. And I think everything starts to go negative when there's resentment at foot and
will
stuff.
You just excuse me a minute? Hold that thought. There's somebody at the door.
That's what he's pissed. It might be pissed.
Right, keep the language clean, good, yeah. Good lads, because there's a young lady just walked in. So watch, just moderate the tone for a wee bit.
All right, we will.
But yeah, so as I say, I fully do get where you're coming from. Just taking up on something else that you've just said, hearing from Rick Wakeman, that is great in itself. And it sort of brought back a memory for me when you said it. Because when I lived up in Cheshire, I was out at a pub with some friends, and Pete Waterman was in there. And we could hear this organ music. And Pete said to the guy behind the bar, he said, who's that in there playing that? And he said, it's Rick Wakeman. And Waterman said, no, it can't be. He wouldn't be in a pub in the middle of blooming nowhere in Cheshire. And he said, yeah, he is. He's rehearsing. He's doing a gig in Warrington at Wollstone Swimming Baths. He said, go and have a wander in. He said, he won't mind. So we wandered in and had this free concert from Rick Wakeman while he was rehearsing. And then when I came down here, when I moved down to Devon, I was doing some work with the Lantern Radio, as it was then, and they had a studios in a place called Biddeford. And I walked into the studio doing this job that I was doing there. We came out of the studio itself, where we'd been doing the recording, and walked up the stairs into the foyer, and Rick's son, Oliver, was standing in there because he was doing shows on the same radio station.
Right.
And he was following on from what we were doing. So yeah. I met both of them, you know, in bizarre circumstances, really.
Right.
So it's a nice little thing that you reminded me of, because I'd sort of put that to the back of my mind. So anyway, so viral discs and downloads.
Yeah.
Now, we touched on that in the last interview, and the fact that that was the vehicle that was going to launch the Children of Ireland.
Yeah. Which it now has, of course, because it's actually come out today, you know, on
You've done it again, Tom.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. We'll keep absolutely quiet.
And at that point, with Tom keeping absolutely quiet, it's an ideal point to break this show and move off to part two. So I'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're enjoying what's going on. Bye now.
Internet Radio.
Cauldron FM, the sound of magic.